first generality. All right, and you'll see the reason why they were able to accomplish their evils precisely because of these midas. So I can't tell me the mida per se is perfection. Mida per se can never be perfection. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we had a basic question last week, was that whether a person would knowledgeably would he do evil unto himself? I want to say, according to sex possibility, the person would never knowingly harm himself.
Yeah.
So therefore, if a guy goes against what he knows or has been proven that it's going to be good for him, in some way he has to be distorting in his mind or changing in his mind that it's not really good for him. So if he doesn't really act according to what he knows, it shows that he doesn't really have complete knowledge.
Okay, but then the question comes back again, the quantitative question. Namely, if you're going to tell me that it's knowledge, who is closer? Who has more knowledge?
I'll answer that question.
Intentionally or unintentionally? Yes.
I'll say unintentionally, because two types of knowledge.
Yeah.
One is knowledge that the guy puts together a bridge. He might know, he has all the...
Who has more knowledge of good and evil?
What?
Who has more knowledge of good and evil?
Well, that's the point. The guy who does it unintentionally is going to have more knowledge, because
right.
He doesn't see how doing good helps him. In other words, he doesn't have the most basic, the most fundamental knowledge. He's lacking. In other words, he can know exactly what good and evil is, but he doesn't see how good and evil helps him, which is the most important, most fundamental knowledge.
Yeah.
Because if he would realize how doing good helps him,
yeah.
And how doing good is going to perfect him, he could never go against it. Because the person knowingly wouldn't go against himself.
So therefore?
Therefore, a person who's acting evil doesn't really have that idea. He has that idea and he's destroyed it, or he can never get that. He can never accept that idea.
And a person does it unintentionally.
Well, a person unintentionally, it's possible that he has that idea. He can know how good it's helping him, but he doesn't know the particulars in each case. Well, the reason he's doing it, why is he doing it? I mean, he must have some reason for doing it.
If I mean the other guy has soup, he doesn't know.
They both might be lacking the fundamental knowledge, right?
Yeah, well, if he's also trying to build a lousy bridge and he couldn't, so then, I mean, of course he's worse. He didn't have the ability to do the destruction.
So what kind of knowledge is knowledge?
So I'm saying that knowledge per se is what we're after. Mm-hmm. We're after the, but I'm saying that the guy who's doing evil is lacking most fundamental knowledge.
The guy who's what?
He's doing evil intentionally.
Why is he lacking fundamental knowledge? Isn't that knowledge of good and evil that he has?
No, the most fundamental knowledge is knowing why it perfects him, why it's good for him.
Yeah.
Or knowing that it is, not exactly how, but knowing that it is good for him. Now, if he knew it was good for him, he would never go against it.
So, in other words, you have two people there. One person we know has a knowledge of... there's another kind of knowledge. What's the other kind of knowledge you're saying? There's two kinds of knowledge.
Knowing that it's good for you.
Knowing that it's good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you have knowledge of that, you're going against that. Means you're distorting your most fundamental knowledge.
I mean, the knowledge is knowing that it's good for you. And he doesn't know that it's good for him.
That's right.
Right. So therefore?
Therefore,
he's lacking the knowledge that's good for him.
Knowledge.
And the guy that does it intentionally, unintentionally?
Yeah. The guy that does it unintentionally, it depends. Or he could have that fundamentally, he could or not. He might or might not have it. Doesn't.
How could he have the knowledge that it's good for him when he doesn't even know what it is?
Well, he could know that, because he might know generally that, let's say, he's building good
bridges. Generally?
He could know generally that acting, doing a good life.
I'm asking you,
doing
a good life.
He might not know the specific case when this comes to
He doesn't know what the good life is. The man, in other words, can a person have fundamental knowledge that a thing is good for him when he doesn't know what that thing is? Is that possible?
He has no idea, you're right.
He has no idea. Well, where's the knowledge? Then I'll ask you a question again. A person who does it unintentionally, I mean, he has no idea. He doesn't know, he has no idea of good and evil. Complete tinik shenishba. Does not know tinik shenishba. Doesn't know anything at all about it. Now, therefore, according to you, you're going to tell me that he's more perfected, but he has no knowledge at all of what it's all about even. At least this guy has some knowledge of what the objects are. He might be missing a main fundamental knowledge, but at least he knows what it is. How could a guy know that something's good for him when he doesn't know what it is? Can a person have knowledge of something which he doesn't know at all? In other words, he has knowledge. He's saying, he wants to say that the guy who does it unintentionally has knowledge that's good for him, but doesn't know what it is. How is it possible for a person to have knowledge that something's good for him when he doesn't know what it is. Is it possible for a person to have knowledge that wealth is good for him when he doesn't know what wealth is?
I don't say neither of them have a good hack, because they're both missing the essence.
Oh, neither of them, right?
That's right.
Ah, but one of them, now, which one is, which one, in terms of knowledge, which one would be closer, would you say? You're saying they both should be equal.
Yeah, because they're missing the essence.
Well, first of all, we say they both should be equal, then we're back in the paradox again. Because
that?
we say that the one who does it intentionally is worse. Not equal. Right? Sure.
Because he might be further away. That's for that reason.
Why is he further away?
Because the reason that's stopping him, the guy who's not doing it at all, he's like a...
In terms of knowledge, though, but in terms of knowledge, the guy who's unintentional has no knowledge of what it is.
In terms of the present state, the guy who's...
In potential state. I mean, he's also a potential state. Talking about the present state, the way he is now, you can't talk about potential. The way he is now, is the guy who does it unintentionally, does he have any knowledge of good and evil? Obviously not. He doesn't even know what it is.
Improvement.
Oh, improvement, then you're talking about a certain emotion, not talking about knowledge. You see, when you go into improvement, you're not talking about knowledge anymore.
Improvement is in terms of improving his knowledge.
Yeah, but he doesn't know anything. He has no zero knowledge, this guy does on intention. He has zero.
The guy can improve his knowledge too.
He can also improve his knowledge.
Easy if he has the knowledge.
At least he knows where it's at. At least he lets the guy, what's good? He'll say, this is good. I'm not doing it. So who has more knowledge of the factors? Right? Got to say the guy that knows at least what it is. This guy doesn't know anything at all. Yes. Non-rational are two different complete areas. Yes.
Knowledge
of the doctor being a good man.
As much as as far as I have more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's only one answer here. The answer is that really the good has to be knowledge. It is knowledge.
What about those questions you had on me?
Okay.
That's what I try to say.
Yeah.
But you didn't have the second part.
It's like this. We have to have one premise. You stated the premise. We didn't follow through. The premise is that a person will naturally will only do that which is good for him. That's the premise. In other words, like this. I'm sorry. Slowly. Yours is over already. We gave you a chance. That's it. Okay. In other words, like this. Every person has inherently a desire to gain that which is good for himself. That's an inherent desire. See? There is no one in the world that will intentionally go to harm himself. Impossible. And do not ask me questions on cases where people commit suicide or a person destroys himself. That is because at that time he considers that the best thing for himself. A person who commits suicide does so because in the situation that he's living in, the pain of life is so great that to him the best thing is to be removed from this life. You understand what I mean? That to him is the best thing of the time. Alright? Do you follow that premise? In other words, my premise is that every person is motivated by one thing, to gain happiness in life. Happiness meaning doing that which he thinks is the correct good for himself. That's the basic motive force in life. That is the force which is responsible for a person's every action, no matter what his philosophy, no matter what his thinking is. One thing, he wants that which is good, and he'll go after it with all the energy that he has. That's inherent in a human being. There is no individual that violates that law, ever. Okay? Excuse me?
Whether he goes after it?
Because he maintains this is the good for himself.
Whichever way he goes after
it. Okay? That is the motive force for every human being's life. Without exception. Because that's inherent in man is that a person has to go after the good. That's the human nature. Just like an animal will go after that which... The only difference between an animal and man is an animal goes after the instinctual good. See? But a human being can override the instinctual good for a greater good. But the basic thing, basic drive motive in man is to do that which is good for himself. That's a premise we have to accept. Okay? Now, once we accept that premise, so then we have to look at the phenomena that we have in front of us. Right? Phenomena is as follows. That if that is the case, if that premise is true, so then a person who has real knowledge of the good, right? A person who has real knowledge of the good will of necessity have to do what? Will have to do the good. So since he has real knowledge of the good, he has no choice. Right? Okay. He has no choice. All right? Now, therefore, let's take the other two cases. Therefore, it'll come out that the perfection has to be knowledge, right? Because since we said that a person inherently, his nature is that he's going to do the good, if we accept that premise, that we're only saying one premise, namely that every person is out for his own benefit. Right? That's what I'm saying. Every person is out for his own benefit. To benefit himself. If that's the case, the moment he has knowledge of what the real good is, he must, ipso facto, he must what? Do it. No choice. See? Right? Okay. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay. Not at all. Okay. A person who leads his life helping others, we have to ask him one question. Do you think that helping others is good or not good? What was the answer be? It's good, right? And therefore what you are doing is good? Okay, so he's doing what's good.
Yeah, but it's not good for him.
You mean it's not? Oh, in other words, helping others is not good for you?
Maybe it's not good for him. It's good for the other.
1 second. So then you can't say that helping others is a good. What kind of a good is it if it's not good for you? Right? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's an impossibility. Any person who is a philanthropist who helps others does so because he maintains that this is the good. Now the truth of the matter is that a real philanthropist, a really person who helps others, should never complain that I did so much to help the other guy and look what happened to me. Because I lost that. Because then he's maintaining that he's a fool. Why? Because he's maintaining that he did something which is harmful to himself. So what do you do it for? Right? The only other possibility is maintaining that that's good. So you did good. So what do you want? See, a person who helps others and expects something in return, he does not believe that the good is really helping others. Because if he believes the good is helping others, then he would need nothing. There's nothing in return. That's what it means, lishma and shalom lishma. And lishma means osei b'toro mitzvahs lishma. What does it mean, osei b'toro mitzvahs lishma? He does it for the... Why? Because a person who helps others because of the good could never expect any return which would be equal in any way, even close, to the good that he has already attained. Because the greatest good is to help others, correct? So therefore he has already received the greatest good, right? So now anything in return is like a job, is nothing. Follow? Unless he maintains that those things in return are really the good. In which case he must say that he's living a foolish life because he's doing things which are harmful. Then he's no different than a person who goes around harming himself intentionally. Right? Therefore, it's a paradox, though. What most people don't see it that way. That's again another way that common people look at it that way. The truth of the matter is, it's wrong. It's really wrong. Why? The person who wants to help others you have to ask them one question. Is that good or is that not good? If it's good, then you've got the good because you helped others. Oh, it's not a good thing to do? You mean you're doing something which is not good? Then what are you doing it for? Okay. It means that it's a good. You see, the only problem is like this. There's two reasons why they maintain it's a good. Sometimes a person does it because he maintains it's a good because of the recognition that he gets from others. You see? That, if that's really the good, so then he can be disappointed. Why? Because in case if he does the good and he goes out of his way and he doesn't get the recognition, then he's upset. Because the whole reason was the thing itself wasn't good. It was just good because of recognition that people will feel sorry for him or say, look how good he is. You understand what I mean? What? Right, that's right. In other words, he wants the glory of doing of being a philanthropist. And if he doesn't get that glory, so then he's not going to be happy. So then that person already, you know, he maintains that really helping others is not really a good. A person who maintains that helping others is the good could never be disappointed, because whatever he did the right thing. He did the greatest thing. You follow? All right? So anyone that tells you, look how much I did for this guy and what he did back to me, you should know right away that that person doesn't really appreciate what the good is. Why? Because if the good is doing for others, you got the good. The answer is to him, the good isn't doing for you. The good is to look like you're really interested in doing the good. And therefore gain the recognition and all the other side benefits, which are really the benefits. Yeah. See? That's the thing. But a person who really knows the good is, he's doing the best thing for himself. See? Following?
Okay. Yeah.
Things. A person that helps others, either he does it because he really maintains it's the good, or else he does it because he wants it to appear like he's really a great philanthropist, which is also a good.
Ego,
that's an ego enjoyment. It's an ego. Yeah, that's his good is the ego. That he's a great guy. That's the good. See? That's his good. But he does it because of the good. You understand? Because he maintains his good. See? Okay, now your question.
What do you mean?
He maintains that the good is to commit suicide.
I agree with that.
Oh, so what's wrong?
Against the author, he has knowledge that, as the author, if you ask him, if you break him down, you see later on, he had knowledge all along that the real good was to be living. That's what he did, right?
Not under that situation at that
But you said if a guy's
not in this particular case.
But you said if a guy's knowledge is good, he can never come to that situation.
He wasn't knowledged him at that time because he wasn't commensurate.
You're going to a guy's knowledge is good. Nothing can make that contrary to them.
Real knowledge, right. Absolutely.
Let me ask you what you mean by real knowledge.
Is it because he's convinced it's good at the time? That's not saying he's convinced that it's good, right?
Okay.
You agree with that premise?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That a person who does it,
then you said something else.
Does any action, he does it because at the time he's convinced that it's good. Right? Okay.
Then you said that a guy's knowledge is good. Will never have no life contrary to it.
In other words, no. I'm saying, insofar as a person has knowledge, and he could live in it, if a person could live in accordance with, as well as he could live in accordance with knowledge, and he has a certain knowledge. I'm not talking about a case where there's a conflict between the emotions and the knowledge. Insofar as a person has knowledge, right, and he can't abide by that knowledge, he can't act according to that knowledge, correct? So then he will, of necessity, always do the good. All right? Okay. Now, the thing is this. It is true that a person could have knowledge, and then at a certain time he can become overcome by an emotion. But at that time, his knowledge is going to be changed. But while he has knowledge, he will always act. You understand what I mean? While he has knowledge, he will always act in accordance with that knowledge. You follow what I mean? In other words, like this. Let's say, for instance, the person would have knowledge that suicide is harmful, right? But at that moment, under the pressure of the emotions, he will say that his knowledge will dictate that this is the good, right? Oh, all right. But the point is, he will always act in accordance with what he thinks is the good at the time. You follow? Now, when a person has knowledge and he can lose knowledge. Different thing. What is responsible? I'm not going into what is responsible for the changes in knowledge. Different changes. Either the emotion could change the knowledge, whatever it is. I don't care what it might be. But at the time that the guy does it, he does it because of the conviction that this is the good. Now, that conviction is a knowledge conviction. You see? I'm not talking about theoretical knowledge. I'm talking about the knowledge, the practical knowledge that he has. You know what I mean? At that time, he's convinced that this is good. Why is he convinced this is good? Because if he had knowledge, it's blocked out. I don't know, whatever it is. Those are other causes why he doesn't know at that time that it's not good. But at the time that he acts, he knows that it's good. Okay? Yes? The attempt is good. Well, that's true. I mean, that's true. There's no question about it.
A lot of people do it for attention.
Attention, the only attempt is good. Of course, it's crazy. I mean, they say in psychologists, and I would agree with them, that it's crazy to take a chance, because when a guy's, you don't know what the guy's going to do. But it shows he's in deep trouble, that's for sure. Because if anybody that maintains that an attempt is good is pretty far gone already. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to be careful. Very, very careful. Because the difference, in other words, people who maintain that an attempt is good are very on the borderline to maintaining that a real thing could be good also.
So what's going to happen to the two cases of the guy
that's intentionally, right? Okay. Now, going with our premise, and we're only maintaining one premise, namely that a person always does that which he is convinced of is good, that which he knows to be good. Now, when a person does evil intentionally, what would you say about that?
You maintain that
evil. See? A person cannot, the answer is a person cannot do evil intentionally.
Why?
Because the moment he, if he really knew that it was evil, so then would a person want to do evil to himself? Would a person want to do evil to himself? No, our premise is a person wants to do good for himself, right? Right? So therefore it's impossible for a person to do evil for himself, right? So the person who does evil intentionally, does he really do evil intentionally? Can he really do evil intentionally?
To others,
to himself.
No.
What if
he is doing it intentionally, not intentionally that he knows that it's evil. But what? But he thinks that it's good. Okay, he thinks that it's good. So you'll ask me, but what about the other guy? What's the difference between him and the other guy? Right?
Yeah.
All right. What's the answer between him and the other guy? What's the difference between him and the other guy? There's one difference between him and the guy that does it unintentionally. What's the difference?
And the other guy that really doesn't have it.
The one that does it intentionally is premising that this is a good. Do you follow? The one that does evil intentionally is premising that this is really a good. That evil is a good. Isn't that true? Right? Now the one that does it unintentionally, is he premising anything? He's not premising anything because he doesn't know anything. So he's total ignorance. So now you have three stages. You have a person who knows the good, a person who maintains the exact opposite, and a person who doesn't know at all. Now how would you line up these three? In what order? In what order of knowledge would you line these three up? A person that knows what the good is, right? A person who maintains that which is evil is good, and a person who doesn't maintain anything. Right? What would the order be? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Something so far as good and evil is concerned, he does it for another reason. He does it because he wants to brush his teeth, not because of this. So far as good and evil, I'm not talking about it so far. He does it for another reason.
What he's doing is good.
No. You don't understand. A person needs breakfast. Now he doesn't have any. It's not in the area of good and evil. I'm not talking about other knowledge. I'm talking about the knowledge. I'm talking about the knowledge of bricklaying, and knowledge of medicine. I'm talking about the knowledge of good and evil. And so far as good and evil is concerned, this is nothing. A guy gets up in the morning and he looks at a newspaper. Whatever he does, or he sits down and eats breakfast. Is that a question of good and evil? Certain things are good and evil, and certain things are neutral. A guy does a neutral action. It's nothing to do with good and evil. It's nothing to do with what is good or evil. Why should it be good or evil? I'm talking about that. You maintain everything God does is good or evil. A guy sneezes, is a question of good or evil. Okay, I'm talking about insofar as maintaining universal premises of good and evil. He does it because he has nothing else to do.
It's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter
which way.
Irrelevant.
The guy kills
a murderer intentionally. What does he maintain? What's his premise?
Right now it's good to do. Right now it's good to do.
He must be maintaining a premise that murder is a good thing. Correct? Now the guy who commits murder unintentionally, does he maintain a premise that murder is good or... He doesn't, because he has no knowledge at all. Correct? To him, what he did is no different than the guy that ate breakfast. And so far as good and evil is concerned, it throws no light on it at all. Right? You understand that? So therefore, insofar as the knowledge of the three levels are concerned, how would you classify the knowledge? Who has the worst knowledge? Who has the lowest amount of knowledge? Who has the most knowledge? Yeah, and which one's next? Which one's next?
The guy who knows and isn't following it. He's distorting the whole thing.
The guy, which one's next on the low? In other words, he says the highest one is... The guy who doesn't maintain any premise. In other words, you ask him, this action, is this action good or evil? He'll say, I don't know. Did he maintain any premise as far as the action is concerned? No. He's in the middle. Now the guy who maintains it says, no, this action definitely is good. The one who does it intentionally, right? You follow what I mean? The one who does it intentionally is maintaining that what? That this is a good thing to do because he's doing it. Like a gangster. A gangster, the mafia. When they kill a guy, right? So what do they maintain? Do they really believe that it's really bad to kill a guy? Do they really believe it's bad to kill a guy? That's the law on the country. This is the system. This is good. Right? You follow? So now, but a guy that killed a guy unintentionally, does he maintain that it's good to murder? No, right? So So which guy would you have to put in terms of knowledge? Which guy has more knowledge of good and evil? The mafia guy or the guy in the middle? The mafia. Let's put it this way: the guy in the middle has no knowledge at all, right? But the mafia guy, not only does he not have any knowledge, but he has false knowledge. He maintains the exact opposite of what the truth is. Correct? Now, who is further away from the truth? The guy who maintains the opposite of the truth, or the guy who doesn't maintain any premises? The guy who maintains the opposite is certainly further away. Exactly. Right. So therefore, that's why the guy who does evil intentionally really is worse. But we know the universe is not, it's evil, right? We don't get so far as he's maintaining the universe first. When we say a person does evil intentionally, see, that's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. What we mean by intentionally means like this. Means that he recognizes that society considers it to be no good. That's what it means intentionally. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
See, evil intentionally, really evil intentionally, is an impossibility. But when we say a person does evil intentionally, we maintain no one does real evil intentionally. But a person that does evil intentionally, by intentionally we mean with the knowledge that society maintains it's wrong and you might get caught. You see? That's a different intentionally. You understand what I'm saying? That's an intentional which is based upon the framework of another system. But not an intentional move based on his own framework. In other words, evil intentionally means you're jumping two frameworks. He does evil which he thinks is good, intentionally knowing that there are others that think it's no good. That's what it means intentionally. You see? The term is really inappropriate. The term, that's a case of, that's a good case of, equivocal. Using the word intentionally, equivocally. The true frame, it is doing it, maintaining that this is really a good. That's what he's maintaining. By doing that, he maintains that it definitely is a good. Person who belongs to the mafia maintains that murder is good. Definitely maintains the murder is good. Person that killed a guy unintentionally, he doesn't maintain anything. You ask him, is this good or is it evil? He says, I don't know. He doesn't know. He has no knowledge as far as that. He might have done it. I mean, his question, don't question why he did it. He did it because he thought it was another good, whatever it is. But as far as murder and evil, as far as murder is concerned, there it's completely unintentional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're discussing the framework of murder, not for discussing why he did it. He did it because he wanted to scratch his back. So he told me he thought it was good. Yeah, he thought it was good, scratch his back. But he didn't think, as far as murder is concerned, he didn't lay down any premises. As far as the basic premise, we're discussing evil, and as far as the basic premises of evil are concerned. You understand what I mean?
For mazes to bring himself up to the level, let's say a guy was overcome by emotion.
Right.
It's always possible that he distorted it to say that it was good and bring himself to the level of Shoghi. Like, you say, well, he distorted the knowledge to say that it was like,
Case is a guy's drunk. Because modern-day psychologists maintain that if a person has one irrational area, that his whole psyche is centered in that area. Not just believe there's one thing irrationally. Can't separate the psyche from the all those conflicts are tied into that area. That's why he's irrational in that area. Ram says if a person's irrational in one respect, he's a shaitan.
So you're saying
one respect.
Totally
psychotic.
What about a guy
who doesn't recognize as an imperfection?
Different category.
Psychologists show you that if a guy has one area, you know. At all, the guy can't be a neurotic or psychotic in one area. The rest of his life is normal. See, if the guy's psychotic, it shows something about the whole dynamics of the psyche. It shows the dynamics of the psyche are tied into that thing. You know what I mean? It affects the whole dynamics of the psyche. The dynamics of the psyche are found there. There's one core issue.
It became psychotic.
And now expresses itself over here. But the point is, essentially, it's not that one. It's not that there aren't separate compartments there. But he's crazy over here, and the other compartments are fine. There's one compartment of the mind, and this is part of this is a result of the dynamics of the psyche. You know what I mean? So therefore, if he has one crazy thing, it's not like you can't split that off from the rest of them. It's not a separate compartment. That's because all his conflicts are tied in over there.
What about he is
operating on two different times, on two different premises. Two different situations. In other words, at one time, in one situation, he maintains that this is the good. Then the moment that situation vanishes, he maintains the other thing is the good. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
So really, there's no such thing as a guy that...
He's flipping.
So he has to, in other words...
There is no
The
only thing is that a guy could know. A person could know. See, a person could know. For instance, a person can have philosophical knowledge. I'll know that this is the best thing in life. This is the best thing for my life, right? But he will be frustrated when he can't live up to it because he knows he's losing out. That's something else. Of course, that exists. We're not saying that
it
doesn't exist.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe.
We're saying it doesn't exist. In other words, the guy can realize that's what he wants. He wants this thing, but he can't attain it. So,
I mean to say is, it's hard for me to say, but let's say.
Can if he thought that there was wrong.
So he's not convinced. He's
he doesn't know. He right now, he may think that it's the right thing to do. What?
Psychological matter. In other words, he knows
that. That is distinguished from who?
Philosophical
neurotic. Oh, the real neurotic.
The real neurotic.
Yeah. What about him?
In other words, he knows the truth.
He's a little neurotic today. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
He knows the truth, but he knows that what he's doing now is harmful to him, but he has no choice. He cannot help himself.
Yeah, but see, you have to understand something. We're only talking about a person insofar as he's a normal human being. We're not talking about an illness. A person's sick, then it means that there are other parts of the mind that have taken over. We're not discussing that. Yes, sir. Impulsive. A person who has obsessional neuroses. Right? So every night before he goes to sleep, he makes sure that his pillow's over here and his book is over here, whatever. This is over there. He has crazy, all kinds of crazy things, you know? So that's, he doesn't know what he's, it's a compulsion. It's not, that's already not conscious. That's not conscious anymore. Yes?
According to what you're saying?
Why? Perfection is knowledge of the good. That's all. Perfection, now all the particulars
that are going to work. Under the influence, let's say, of emotions.
Then he doesn't have knowledge of the good, so it's not perfection. Why, the reason why he doesn't have that knowledge of the good, I'll give you thousands of reasons why. I'm not interested. In other words, we're interested in the one underlying definition. We're interested in the cases. There are many different cases. But we're saying perfection consists in knowledge of the good. Now, whenever you show me a guy that's imperfect, he does not have knowledge of the good. That's all. Now, why he doesn't have knowledge of the good could be a thousand reasons.
But that's the scale of green. There is no absolute. So that everything need be nothing more than relative.
In other words, then we need not concern ourselves with how we live at all.
No, I didn't say that.
Why?
We need not concern ourselves. I would not believe that an absolute scale of good and evil exists.
Well, let me ask you a question then. And in other words, whatever I do makes no difference, because whatever I do is, it could be good, it could be evil. There's no scale.
Your subjective scale is satisfying.
What do you mean? What do you mean by subjective scale?
To satisfy your own basic needs, to do what's good for you.
Let me ask you. I'll give you two examples. Let's say, for instance, let's take an example from health, right? Would you say, insofar as health is concerned, there's no objective scale of health and non-health?
Health is not good and evil. Health is attainable.
No, I'm asking you in that area.
Well, clearly.
There is, or there isn't?
There is.
There is. In other words, in nutrition, for instance, would you say there's an objective scale of what is nutrition, what is non-nutritious?
But those are tangible.
Excuse me?
Those are tangible.
No, I don't get tangible.
Those are
empirically
provable. They're not necessarily
objective. No. Empirically provable is separate. Why not to whether there's empirical proof is a separate area? Really, the truth of the matter is that there's nothing that's empirically provable. Because everything that's proven empirically is proven upon basic premises of your mind, which is not empirical. So that's impossible. But what I want to know is one thing. When you say there's two possibilities, let me see if I can give you an illustration. Like, let's say you say that nutrition is not objective. Now, what does it mean it's not objective? It depends on the person's situation. A person that's sick needs a certain type of nutrition, right? And a person that's healthy needs a different kind of nutrition, right? That, in that case, would you call that objective or subjective? What do you call it? In other words, a person who's sick needs a certain type of nutrition, right? A person who's healthy needs a different kind of nutrition. Right? So in that case, would you say that nutrition is objective or subjective? What would you say?
I don't see the relevance, but
is it relative or not relative?
What?
Is that relative or not?
No, I don't see the relevance of the question. I don't see where nutrition
is. Oh, what's the difference? But I don't know, but I'm just asking a question.
I guess I would say objective. You
know? That's objective or subjective?
I guess I would say objective.
Objective.
Without much time to think. That's
objective. Even though for each individual it's a different thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I would tell you that there's no nutrition at all, right, no matter what a guy eats, it doesn't make any difference at all, that would be subjective?
That would be crazy.
Okay. Now, where could you give me an illustration of subjective?
I don't see...
I don't see how that answers the question. I see what you're getting at. I just don't see what answers the question.
No, what I'm getting at is I don't know what you mean by subjective. In other words, if you mean by subjective that it's good for this person at one time and it's not good for him at another time, or if it's good for this type of person and not for another type of person, then I understand what you mean by subjective.
But if you want to... We're not talking about physical characteristics.
No, I know, but I have to understand what you're talking about. In other words, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying that this is the same thing, but I have to have an example to understand what you mean. In other words, if you tell me, I can understand, I see like in nutrition, I could see two ways, objective, subjective, and then nothing, right? In other words, objective would be where there's one standard for everybody, no matter what you are, one objective standard. Then if you tell me there are different standards, you see, then I say it's subjective, depends on the person. If a person's ill, so then he needs this nutrition. If he's another way, then he needs another nutrition, that's subjective. And then if it doesn't matter what you eat at all, right, then there's no standards at all. Right? Now, is there any other thing besides those three? Are there any levels in between? Is there any other possibility besides those three? There aren't. Right? Okay, that's it. In other words, there are just either one of those three possibilities, right? Now, I would... Right? Okay, that's it. In other words, there are just either one of those three possibilities, right? Now, I would ask you, so far as good and evil, which one of the three would you maintain it's like? There must be another one somewhere in between, right?
No, I just thought that you can't draw analogies from things that aren't analogies.
I know, but
nutrition,
no.
And evil are unrelated.
No, I understand, you can't.
Either good and bad
objects. In other words, you're using the word if you...
...job to be an objective good or a subjective good.
Excuse me?
It's not putting on light on Shabbos, you consider that a good, I would assume. Is that an objective good or a subjective good?
What I would say?
What would you would say?
Well, again, I'll have to go back to illustration.
Is it on this absolute scale of good and evil, in general, is not turning on light on Shabbos a good or not a good?
You can't answer that way. It must be subjective.
Well, I'm asking you, is it a good or not a good? Not to put on a light on Shabbos.
In a certain situation, yes. Yeah. A certain situation is good. And another situation is bad.
Yeah, you have a call, you have to turn it on.
Well, we're not talking about that. Let's get away from like the sick person. You can have the sick person also. We're talking about the normal cases. Not turning a light on Shabbos is good or bad.
Yeah. Is what?
It's not turning a light on Shabbos is good or
good. Good or bad depends on the case.
You walk me into your house, you'd like to...
If you say it's objective, if you say objective, then I would say, like, for instance, let's say we'd say that a person has to, murder. Is murder objectively evil? Right? Murder, let's say Avodazar. Is Avodazar objectively evil? I say yes. Because under any situation, you can't serve Avodazar. Objective. Subjective, the other mitzvah. Subject depends on the person.
Yeah, but isn't that an objective scale within Judaism, say, and doesn't transcend it?
What do you mean?
And isn't that a scale? Sure, within Judaism there's an objective scale. No one's arguing that. What I mean to say is that it's not a scale. It's not a scale of good and evil that's based on reason, that's noble to all men of different. It's not evil for a person somewhere in the middle of the jungle in Africa to bend down to an idol, or is it?
Yes, I would say it is. Doesn't it determine that it is? Doesn't it determine that everybody's that is Zionist Bnei Noach? It's one of the seven. Subjective.
Yeah, it's not a Torah standard.
What?
Now, your Torah is the standard of good and evil.
Yeah, I understand. Well, my standard could be, in other words, whatever you...
Why did you accept the standard of good and evil?
You just tell me as far as nutrition that, definitely it's objective, right? But isn't that the AMA standard? I mean, a guy in Africa who eats something that's harmful, you going to tell me that's not harmful? That's only a standard of AMA, of course. In Africa, it doesn't work. But the question is, insofar as we know, it really is objective for everybody. It's true the guy in Africa doesn't know. But insofar as our knowledge is concerned, that's objective, right? It's the same thing with the Torah. If the person who has knowledge of Torah will have to maintain that this is really just like people who accept the AMA insofar as medicine, therefore has to accept the Torah insofar as life, right? So it's not any more subject. Excuse me?
What if one does not accept the Torah?
So what if one doesn't accept the AMA? What are you going to say?
I'm still going to say there's something that's infested with insects is bad.
It's bad.
Regardless of whether it accepts the AMA, it's still bad.
Right.
Still a certain
and as far as the knowledge of life, you can't say that.
No.
Even though you know objectively this is a good life.
How can you say that it's bad to bend down to an idol?
How can you say that?
I don't think you can say that it's bad to bend down.
Well, what's the difference? Why can't you say? In other words, let me ask you a question. When a person, let's understand, according to the Torah, when a person bends down to an idol, does he harm his soul or does he benefit his soul?
No.
He harms his soul. Then there is such thing as a soul?
All right, we'll
okay.
take it as a given.
For now. As a given, okay. Now, therefore, does the Torah maintain that everybody has a soul?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, therefore, this action is harmful to everybody's soul.
According to this scale.
You're right. Now, isn't that the same thing as the AMA?
No.
Yeah, but so what? So there's other scales that don't accept the AMA also. Isn't that the same thing?
That's just so. The AMA is not an objective standard.
Also, therefore, you're going to maintain that it's objectively not harmful for the guy in Africa to eat the infested food. But you just tell me it's harmful.
Because something is not an objective standard doesn't mean that everything it has to say is subjective. There are certain basic truths, there are certain
given. Let me ask you a question.
There's certain given. And there's nothing to go beyond given.
I understand what you mean. Let me ask you a question. In other words, if you're going to maintain, you tell me if a guy eats infested food, no matter where he is, no matter what his beliefs are, he's going to harm himself, right? Because we know, we have knowledge that this is harmful, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if the Torah is knowledge, right? If it, let's say we maintain that God gave the Torah, right? Accepting the premises of that.
That's a subjective
term. I see. Then your question is whether God gave the Torah now, right?
No, it's not based. My question is that.
Then what's it? But let's say. Let me ask you a question.
The Torah has no authority for anyone who does not accept that.
Well, you know, authority. The AMA doesn't have authority in Africa, but the guy's killing himself. What's it got to do with authority?
But then it's not because what the AMA says is provable whether the Torah is given by God or not.
Oh, but I'm asking you. But let's say, for instance, you had knowledge. Let's say you had knowledge, the knowledge of God, right? And you would know exactly how it works, right? So then would the guy be harming himself in Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, so then you're just maintaining you don't have the knowledge, right?
I'm maintaining that your knowledge of God is your own personal subjective knowledge.
Oh, you maintain there's no knowledge of God, then? Oh, so in other words, you're maintaining there's no knowledge of God, right? That's what you maintain.
All right, if you want
to... Oh, that's, but you're not maintaining subjectivity, right?
I'm maintaining that...
In other words...
knowledge of God is still based on faith, which is beyond the rational, or...
Oh, in other words,
less than rational.
In other words, but I'm asking, is it true? Is it a question of truth or non-truth? Is it a question
what
of true or non-truth? In other words, whether God exists or not, is that a question of true or non-truth?
No.
You mean he could exist and not exist at the same time?
Yes.
God could exist and not exist at the same time?
Clearly. Otherwise, first of all,
I'm talking about in the external world. Can there be an existence of God in the external world and not be an existence of God in the external world at the same time?
No.
There cannot be.
No.
Oh, then either he exists or he doesn't exist.
But
is that objective or subject?
Is unknowable.
Excuse me?
The knowledge of whether he exists or not is unknowable.
You know that?
You know that?
Then that is knowable?
That is
unknowable.
It's knowable.
But is it knowable to know that it's unknowable?
Yes.
Yes? Could you please show me how you know it's unknowable?
That's
no,
it
is. Okay, then let me ask you a question. If it were knowable,
then everybody would know it, and right. People would look by it.
Now let me ask you a question.
That's
does the
true.
External world change? Does the external world change with the knowledge of people? In other words, like this. Let's say people didn't know gravity, right? Do you think that at the time that people didn't know gravity, gravity did not exist? But
no,
when people got
not.
To, certainly not.
No, I'm saying that God didn't exist
because
people.
So therefore, let's say, for instance, when Einstein came out with this theory, right, in physics. Now, at that time, were there more people that knew the theory or that didn't know the theory? More people didn't know, right? Now, you maintain that when people do not know, some people know and some people do not know, then it means the thing isn't necessarily true, isn't true. That's the proof that it's not true, right?
No.
Therefore, at the time when the people didn't know, so you're going to say that the theory wasn't true, but then later it became true.
Once it is posited, it's something that's knowable. Therefore, if people don't know it,
right.
It's only because they don't know something
okay.
That's knowable.
Fine. Then if
not
a year from
fine,
today, if a year from today, but if a year from today people will know that there is a God, then will it be knowable?
If people will know that there is a God?
Yes.
I maintain that knowledge that's unknowable.
Yeah, well,
it's unknowable, but people know.
Why do you maintain it's unknowable? Because they don't know it today? Then you should maintain that Einstein's theory is unknowable.
People believe in it, but nobody knows it.
Oh, so in other words, anything that we didn't know is not knowable. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Anything we don't know today is not knowable?
I didn't say that.
Oh, so then why do you say this is unknowable?
What?
So why do you say this
is
unknowable?
I said this is
unknowable. Why? So what
else.
I'm asking you. But I'm asking you, tell me the proof that it's unknowable. And your proof was because we don't know it, right?
No, my proof is that it's intuitively to me that it's unknowable. I guess it's more of an intuitive kind of situation where...
You mean it's subjective?
What?
I mean, it's subjective.
Yes, exactly.
You feel that way. You feel
that way. But one can believe in it. I think
you feel that way.
In the sense that the core of Judaism is emunah, not knowledge. Not, you know,
I
have to
know that you feel this.
Faith.
In other words, you feel this way, right? Okay. And you maintain because you feel this way that that's why it's so, right? Correct?
Right, I guess so. Which is not the most probably.
Right, but then you have no knowledge that it isn't so, right? You just feel that way. Did you ever feel that something? Did you ever have a feeling that something? I'm asking how you know. I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. I'm saying, do you know it's unprovable, or do you feel that way? Now, if you tell me you feel it's unprovable,
no, I'll say I know it's empirically unprovable.
You know it. Now, I'm asking if you know it. Then please convey the knowledge to us that that can prove that it's unknowable.
Well, the very definition of God is that it's unobservable and not comprehensible. And therefore, if he can't be observed, he can't be comprehended, he can't be known absolutely.
Is that, then, in other words, you can't know whether he exists if you can't understand it? You know, electricity also is unknowable. We do not know many things about it, but do we know it exists?
We know it exists. We do not.
Now, we're questioning here.
We know it exists, but you observe the flow of electrons.
Yeah, we don't know
it. You know, we don't know that God exists because we don't see it. Unless we don't see a manifestation of God the way we see.
We don't see a manifestation of God. But if we see a manifestation of God, then we'd know he exists, correct?
Well, if you want to... Yeah, but I might maintain that the manifestation is unknowable.
Now, I want to know, how do you know the manifestation is unknowable? My question is again... The Torah says that the manifestation is unknowable?
No, the Torah says that God will never show his face to man.
Really?
Which
Torah do you have? Where do you get these things from? That God will never show his face? What does it mean, his face to man?
Well, I mean, obviously that's about it. I mean, obviously it's an anthropomorphic expression.
Yeah.
But the point is that, I mean, the sun will rise.
Don't bring any proof from that area, because I don't think you know what it means over there. Face, God not showing his face means his essence.
But it will never be shown to man.
But his ways are knowable. Because the ways, that was the thing that God showed Moses, was his ways. Bereis is a horror. Now, if you know his ways, do you know he exists or not?
If you accept those are his ways.
I'm asking, if you know his ways, you know he exists.
You cannot know his ways.
The Torah says he doesn't know his ways.
The Torah says it, but the Torah is...
Oh, so then don't bring that to the book. Don't bring the Christian Torah. I'm asking you for proof that it's unknowable. So first you tell me those people don't know it. Now you say that that's no proof. Now you bring in proof from the Torah, but proof from the Torah is no proof because you tell me that you can't accept the Torah. I want to ask you one question. Show me...
If you accept those are his ways.
I'm asking, if you know his ways, you know he exists.
You cannot know his ways.
The Torah says he doesn't know his way.
The Torah says it, but the Torah is...
Oh, so then don't bring that to the book. Don't bring the Christian Torah. I'm asking you for proof that it's unknowable. So first you tell me those people don't know it. Now you say that that's no proof. Now you bring in proof from the Torah, but proof from the Torah is no proof because you tell me that you can't accept the Torah. I want to ask you one question. Show me...
Unknowable.
No, 1 second. When you say God is unknowable by definition, do you mean we don't understand him, or do you mean we don't know he exists?
We cannot ever see him, hear him, smell him, or...
But does that mean we do not know? Could you smell electricity?
You can see electricity. You can
yeah.
see,
you in other words, you can see the... No, you can't see electricity. You can see the results of electricity. Electricity per se, you can't see. Okay, all right. Now, we're questioning whether God exists.
There's no question it's the result of electricity. There is a question whether the result of God is the result of God.
We're not questioning whether you can understand God. The question is whether we could know he exists. Is that not the question?
Yeah.
So why are you bringing me a proof from the fact that he's... Why are you mentioning the fact that he's unknowable? We're not questioning what his nature is. We're questioning whether he exists or not. Is that true or not?
And I maintain that's an article of faith.
I understand. Now I'm asking you what your proof is, and you didn't give me any proof.
I said that he is that by virtue of the fact that he is unseeable and unobservable.
Now I'm asking you, if something's unseeable...
How can you know something that you can never see or observe?
Now I'm asking you, is there a difference between knowing the thing itself and knowing that it exists by virtue of its effects? Is there a difference between those two things?
What?
In other words, knowing the thing itself and knowing whether it exists by virtue of its effects. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, I might not understand the thing, but I could see it exists because I see the effects of the thing. Right? There's a difference between the two, right? Now, your argument is that I can't know that he exists, right? Is that true? Now, could you please show me how I can't know that he exists, and don't tell me again because of the reason that you don't understand him, because we just maintained that even though you don't understand him, you can still see the results, right?
No,
I'm not saying that you... I'm not telling you to believe that you can see the results. But I want you to prove to me that you can't. Can you prove to me that you can't see the results? Oh, then you don't know. Oh, then you don't know. Then you cannot say that it's proven fact that you know that God doesn't exist, or you know that it can't be proven.
Of course not. I can't say that it can't be proven.
Prove to me that it can't be proven. That's what I'd like to know. I'd like to...
Well, now let me put the question to you. Prove to me that it can be true. Let me put the question.
Are we taking your question or my question? Are we trying to understand?
Can't think this is a God be proven.
But are we trying to understand your premise or my premise? I mean, my premise is not the question. Your question is one of those things.
Well, let's answer your question, then we'll see if there's an answer to mine. Can God be proven?
In other words, well, let me ask you this. By your very question, in other words, if I will prove it to you, then you will accept the proof?
If I think it's a good proof, then I will accept that God is proven.
In other words, then you do not maintain that it's not provable.
Well,
I maintain right now that it's not provable. If somebody
then I keep telling me if I will, oh, then you can't maintain it's not provable. Because if you maintain it's not provable, then how can you accept the proof that I'm going to give you?
It's unprovable. I've never heard a proof that's...
You can only say you don't know of a proof, but you can't say it's not provable. Let me show you the difference between those two statements.
Well, I'm saying that an article says it's not provable. You give me a proof, and then I'll have to revise my statement. But until then, I can still keep to maintain that statement.
You can't maintain, it's impossible. That's impossible to maintain that statement. You can't maintain, no, a person cannot maintain that it's impossible to prove gravity and simultaneously ask for a proof of gravity. That's impossible. A person can't make
proof. Well, but if you're asking for the proof, I'm really challenging you to show you that it is unprovable.
Then you must say that you do not know that it's unprovable. That there is no rules insofar as good and evil. In other words, it's zero. Whatever you do makes no difference in life. Or else you're going to have to maintain that there really is something.
No, those aren't the same two things. No one said that because there is no objective scale of good and evil, that what you do makes no difference.
Then it has to be. There has to be some scale.
There
has to be
a scale.
What do you mean by subjective scale?
The result of that action for you. Whereas there is no.
There must be some good and evil. In other words, can anything you do harm you?
Yes.
It can't. So therefore, if it can harm you, then is this operating by certain rules? But is there certain rules that would explain why it harms you and not him? Are there certain rules?
No,
what's is this?
Yeah,
is this
the rule in the United States, if you go through the red line, you're going to get put in jail.
No, I mean, is this intelligible? Is this an intelligible thing, or are you just maintaining it's a crazy thing, that's the way it is? Is this an intelligible thing?
It's what an intelligible thing.
The fact that if you do certain actions, it will be good for you, and if he does, it will be bad for him, those same actions. Is this something which is intelligible to the human mind, or is unintelligible?
What do you mean intelligible?
Can it be understood? Could it be understood? Is it subject to any... Is it just a capricious thing, or is it subject to... So is there a reason why it is that way? Is there a reason why for you it's good, and for him it's no good?
No.
There's
not
no
reason.
There's no reason
that I can take from what applies to me and him.
Any reason at all? Is there any reason at all why it should be that way?
In his case, it's my case.
Yes. Is there any reason why? I understand, but is there a reason for that also, or there's no reason for that?
For what?
For whatever the phenomenon are you talking about, is there a reason for it? In other words, is there a reason why for you it's good, for him it's no good, and for me it's neutral? Is there a reason for that?
Yes.
Okay. Those reasons are based upon an understanding of the of good and evil.
No.
They have nothing to do with it.
No.
There's no reason then. Then what kind of reason is it? What is the reason based on?
The reason is because for different things in his personality, what he does will do him harm to himself. Not because of the objective scale of any will. If you were to do the exact same thing that he did, it wouldn't bring you harm. Therefore,
is there a reason for that?
Is there a reason for that? Yeah. Depends on what the act is. Take an action.
So how are you going to measure unless you have an objective term? How are you going to know?
My point is, there's a reason why if I were to go over to him and punch him in the face, it's going to be harmful to me. It wouldn't be as harmful to me.
Then it has to be operating with certain principles, right?
Yeah.
Oh, now those principles are universal, right?
No.
Is that universal? I understand.
But there's a lot of universal principles apply to me, and they apply to him, and they don't apply to you.
Yeah, but isn't it true that they don't apply to me by virtue of those principles? That's why they don't. Because of the reason that it works for you, that's why it doesn't apply to me. Because of that reason, isn't that true?
Okay.
Okay. Now, isn't that reason? Isn't that a principle? Isn't that a universal principle? In other words, isn't that the same thing as the case of nutrition? Why one guy eats this food is good, and another guy eats it's harmful? Isn't that the same thing?
Physical results.
Well, it's a different, but isn't it the same thing? I don't get physical enough, but isn't it the same thing?
No, because...
It's not the same thing.
No. In other words, the reason why if I were to go over to him and hit him, it would be harmful to me, and it wouldn't be harmful to him, relates to certain physical aspects of the world. Not because...
Physical aspects of the world.
Because he's twice my size. I mean, they have the notion that... What?
That's an objective thing, man.
But the notion that... Me going over to hit him is objectively bad for me. Forgetting about what he would do in return, there's no such thing. It's not bad for me to hit him. It's bad for me to hit him if it's going to cause me harm in return. It's not bad for me to hit him if it's not going to do anything.
So in other words, you're maintaining that it's bad to get hit.
I'm maintaining your basic premise to begin with, that what a person does is always what's best for him.
Are you maintaining that it's bad to get hit?
Yeah.
And is that universally true for everybody?
I assume so.
Oh, so then isn't that objective?
It's objective that it's bad to get hit. It's not objective. That's the result of an action. It's not objective that hitting somebody is bad. I don't maintain that.
Yeah, but I understand that. But you maintain you're going to have a philosophical system with objective rules. Isn't that true? Because your objective rule, you just told me it's objective to get hit, right? Now, therefore, the objective rule of philosophy is, and your philosophy is, that it's bad to get hit, right? So, therefore, anything which is going to lead to getting hit is going to be bad. And anything which doesn't lead is going to be good, right? Or not bad,
yes.
Right? Okay, so therefore you have an objective system, do you not?
But no specific action fits in with, in other words,
yes, specific actions.
Any in himself is not bad.
Yeah, well, we understand that. Isn't that true in any philosophical system? That it's that any philosophical system you're going to maintain, or even in any area. In nutrition as well, you're not going to maintain a specific food is good. It depends on the situation. The reason why the food is good because it brings health, right? But
yeah.
In the situation that doesn't bring health, it's not going to be good, right?
Well, now you're maintaining results. Results can be objective, but the point is in action. Hitting a person is not objectively bad.
So that's my question comes back to nutrition again. Any systems like that? That's any philosophical system.
So
therefore, that's objective. That's what we mean by objective, right?
What's objective?
The result.
So he's saying any action which leads to something.
What about an action of good and evil? You're about committing murder. You're
right.
Committing murder.
So that
is
defined in terms of the result.
But there may be no result. If killing you means no result, then I'm allowed to do it.
The result is
killing
you.
The result is you guys said. Being dead is not it. I don't do. Who says it's being dead?
Then you can do it.
It's bad either.
So then you can do it.
You're right. So then you can do it.
Okay.
We maintain that there is some harm done to you when a person commits evil, other than the getting hit back, right? You understand what I mean? So if there is such a thing, so then it's going to be universal also. You understand?
No, I don't see that. In other words, an action. You cannot take an action and say this action is bad.
You just said an action. You just did that before. You said an action which is going to result in you getting hit back is bad, right?
Yeah, but the action itself. Forget about results. And that's the point.
So we're saying an action that's
bad.
Yeah, but we're saying an action that harms the soul is bad. And we're saying murder is one of those actions. Can't we? Isn't that possible?
But getting hit back.
But in other words, getting hit back physically. In other words, you perceive evil as only getting hit back physically. We perceive evil as something occurring to the soul, right?
Right.
Can we,
but then the soul becomes a given, which I accept and you accept, but someone else does not have to accept.
No, but we mean, in other words,
it's all about an objective truth.
Your question is how we could prove that this thing is so, right? Is that your question?
Now, what thing is so?
How we could prove that there is a soul and that a soul is harmed? Is that your question?
All right.
That's another question, though. That's another. We have to go to that question.
Well,
you're not a questioning.
The point
is
that good and evil, if we're going to talk about it in terms of a soul,
so you're assuming.
Fine, but that's also a subjective belief.
No. That's my question again.
All right.
That's the question. So your question is, can we prove the existence of the soul?
All right. That's
your question.
Question.
Not the next. That is the question. The other questions are false, because the other question is based on assumptions that you have that you can't prove.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright.
Next week. Okay, we can take up that question.
Okay.
Next week.
And if there is no soul, then therefore
there
can be no
soul. Well, we have to take up the question. Right?
Next week.
We can't have the conclusion before we take up the question.